Today's reading is from Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 to 13, and it's on page 72 in the Red Bibles, and it might appear on the screen, who knows. So it's page 72. The Song of Moses and Miriam. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the water piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. You stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Ali. And let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. Lord, would you breathe on our hearts? Would we open our hearts, Lord, to receive what you have for us, Lord, as a church, as a community, Lord, but for us personally, on our journeys and our walk with you. Lord, help me as I speak and us together this morning. And Lord, we welcome you. Amen. Well, good morning. I've really enjoyed spending time looking at this passage from Exodus over the past week. It's been half term for me, and so I've had an opportunity to spend time with my girls, with Charlotte, who's 3 months old now. Time just flies when you have a little one. No one can fully prepare you for the change that your life happens when you have a little one. But it's such a joy. And one of my real joys is music. And it was great, wasn't it great to worship together just now? And before the 4th of March this year, I would listen to classical music, to worship music, you know, a bit of pop maybe, you know, a bit of Jason Mraz, one of my favorite artists. Up until then, that was the case. Now, I listen to nursery rhymes. Depending on my mood, we have a lovely album of 150 classics. And the wonderful thing is you put it on shuffle and you never know what's going to come. It's a surprise every time. You do have, I have to admit, some favourites which you find yourself singing from time to time. I say usually I listen to it with Becky and Charlotte, but I do also listen to it in the car on the way to work. You just feel full of joy when you get to work. It's fantastic. Anyway, confession time over. Some people might say I listen to nursery rhymes a bit too much. My colleague the other week, I've been whistling Incy Wincy Spider for about 4 hours. And I got an email from Tara, it popped up on my screen, and as I was whistling it, I read the email, and it just said, please, do you know any other tunes? The best moment came when I was in an important meeting a couple of weeks ago, and I genuinely got distracted as I began to ponder, if Jack had broken his crown when he fell, how did Jill get off so lightly? But the worst part, though, is when an annoying nursery rhyme gets in your head and you can't shake it off. And there'll be moments when I will be singing, and Becky then I think I stop singing it, Becky then starts singing it, and we just keep carrying around this really annoying nursery rhyme, and we just can't get it out of our heads. The songs have an amazing ability of sticking in our memory, don't they? Songs can instantly transport us to a place we've been or to a situation that we've previously experienced. There's something about a song that can remind us of something special. And for the Israelites, this song of Moses that we've had read for us by Ali in Exodus 15 was just that. It would be a song that would be remembered and still is now for countless generations of the Jewish people. But I'd like to encourage us this morning to realize that it's also a song that we could and we should sing today, and a song that we ourselves will one day sing together in heaven. Moses led people, his people, from their captivity and slavery in Egypt across the Red Sea in one of the most miraculous moments in history. And last week, Tom helped us look at the call of Moses as the man chosen to lead his people out of slavery. Pharaoh was stubborn, and he wouldn't let them go. And we saw the Passover, the blood on the doorposts, the 10 plagues. It brought Egypt to its knees, culminating in the death of the firstborns. And the Israelites were then commanded to go. You can imagine, can't you? They left in a hurry. Pharaoh was stubborn again, though, and he changed his mind. And he decided to pursue the Israelites himself. And I hadn't realized the extent of the forces coming after Israel. Exodus 14:7 says that Pharaoh came with 600 of his best chariots. Not just that, and all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers on every single one. This was pretty daunting. And this was an army bent on one thing, to annihilate God's people from the face of the earth. And they're not the first to try and do so. God commanded Moses to stretch out his hand, and the sea would part. And the Israelites walked through, with the Egyptians right behind them. Once the Israelites were safe, Moses stretched out his arm again. And verse 27 of chapter 14 says, "The Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea." Wow, the whole entire Egyptian army, all those chariots, all the officers, and Pharaoh himself had been defeated. And what followed almost immediately was a song of praise, a song of praise sung by Moses and by the people. And this morning, I'd like to look at this song and put it into three parts and see it as a song of praise, firstly, and secondly, a song of perseverance, and thirdly, a song of prophecy. The song of Moses was a jubilant and exquisite song of praise, a beautiful poem. And as I've looked into it, so many commentators talk about the beauty of the words, the way it's constructed, like nothing we've seen before. But I hadn't realized this was the first song in the Bible, the first worship song, the first hymn. Moses was the Old Testament Dave Fordham. I don't want to give Dave too much of a big head. But he led his people in praise. Deliverance had just happened. The people had just walked through the sea, led by Moses. Yet this song doesn't even do a tip of the hat to Moses. It doesn't even recognize him. Nothing. Moses, who boldly led his people, he confronted Pharaoh. He convinced his grumbling people to trust God for their deliverance. He doesn't get any of the limelight. Moses realizes the importance of worship to God. It wasn't in his own strength. And then what a wonderful worship song this is. Verse 2 says, "The Lord is my strength and my song." Verse 6 says, "Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power." Verse 11, "Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders." Wow, this song is about God and his glory, his deliverance, his faithfulness, his mercy, his miraculous power, and his strength alone. Pharaoh's gods could not save him and his huge army from destruction. But why did God save his people? Well, verse 13 clearly says, through his unfailing love, he led his people to safety. and he leads us too. We can only imagine the level of thankfulness, joy, and praise that the Israelites had when initially faced with the advancing Egyptians on the bank of the Red Sea, that they should be led to safety. I wonder, can we look back at the journey of our lives this morning and look back at what God has done in our lives and see his hand at work? Are we amazed when we think of his mercy? Are we amazed when we think of his greatness, his faithfulness, his compassion? When we didn't think he would have compassion, he had compassion. When we didn't think that he'd have mercy, he had mercy. Does it not just make us want to burst out in song, in praise for all that he has done? Well, that was Moses' goal too. But finally, in this song of praise, I love that though they sing corporately together as Israelites, this is a love song that we can all sing personally. The words in this passage say, I will sing to the Lord. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. In one of the most wonderful deliverances the world has ever seen, this is a song not just for the church to sing corporately, but for each and every one of us to sing too. He has delivered his people, yes, but he has also delivered you, and it also delivered me. This is a song of praise. But this is also a song of perseverance. The Egyptians were the Israelites' enslavers, slave masters, oppressors for over 400 years. And here they were, their best soldiers, and even Pharaoh himself, advancing to destroy them. You can imagine, can't you, the fear, the panic, the helplessness. The Israelites knew only too well the military power of the Egyptians. They were trapped on all sides. I can only imagine what they must have been feeling with the vast water on one side, this huge Red Sea, and on the other side, the Egyptians. I'd be thinking, after all the hardships in Egypt, I'm going to either drown here in the sea or be slain on this very bank. This is it. This is where it ends. My time has come. But the word of the Lord says, happy are the people whose trust is in the Lord, for he had better plans for them, and he has better plans for us. I wonder whether some of us are going through particularly hard times right now, and you just can't see the way out. You feel trapped and surrounded on every side, ready to be devoured and give up. But this is a song that implores us, exhorts us, tells us, no matter what your life is going through right now, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Keep persevering. Join in this song of perseverance. Make Christ your song and put your hope and trust in him alone. Persevere and he will show himself to be faithful and bring you through. As we look through the narrative of the Old Testament, baby Moses was vulnerable and exposed in his basket on the River Nile. But God made a way. Noah was tossed around by the waves of the great flood, but God made a way. The Israelites here were faced with the dead end of the Red Sea. This is it, the end of a story. But God made a way. And God's message to us today is the same. If we put our trust in him, even with the troubles of this world snapping at our heels, much like the Egyptians, if we make God our high tower, he will bring us through. There is nothing to rely on in our human strength. And it's in chapter 14, verse 25, that the Egyptians realize when they say this, the Lord is fighting for them. There's that realization. It's not by their power, but it's by the Lord's power. And in Paul's letter to the Romans in the New Testament, he declares that we are more than conquerors. But the verse doesn't end there. It's through Christ that we are conquerors. In Christ that we have the victory. And verse 9 of the passage that Ali read to us says, the enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them. We can feel like that sometimes, can't we? The things going on in our lives, the sins that threaten to overcome us, the pressures of life, the decisions that we have to make, the difficulties that we can find ourselves in, the taunts of the enemy. But verse 9 continues with this. But you blew them away with your breath, and the sea covered them. God has made a way. Don't give up and look back on those charging Egyptians or on the waves threatening to engulf you. But look to him, the author and perfecter of our faith, because this is also a song of perseverance. But lastly, this is a song of prophecy. What a moment it must have been for the Israelites. What a day. I mean, I'd like to have seen their journals from the day. When they look back and they saw the enemies buried, just as our sins are, in the deepest sea. Verse 5 says the Egyptians sank to the depths like a stone. And we are given victory over sin, which pursues us like a bloodthirsty Egyptian, against the devil who prowls around like a lion against us. But when the Israelites saw the defeated Egyptians wash up on the shore, they saw them for what they are, impotent and defeated. And that is the same for us today. One day, we will see the schemes of the enemy, the shame that has surrounded us, defeated once and for all, lost to the depths, swallowed up in God's victory. And 2 weeks ago, Tom spoke to us about being an in-between people, in between God's promise and the fulfillment of that promise. Jesus cried on that cross, "It is finished." And so death has already been defeated, and the power of sin has already been broken, but we are yet to see the kingdom of God fully realized and established. But one day we will, and what a day that will be. And as I come into land, I was amazed to realize, I hadn't realized this before, but this song of Moses is a song that we need to learn too, because we'll all come to sing it together one day. I'd like to read to you from Revelation 2:15, which says this: "And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name," that's us, "standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God, and they sang together the song of Moses." Wow, this isn't just a song for 3,500 years ago. It's also a song for now, for today. And it's a song that we'll sing in eternity. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19 says this: "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us, and will subdue our iniquities." And then it finishes with this: "You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." And so, as Tom reminded us 2 weeks ago, Jesus' death and resurrection was the ultimate Red Sea miracle, because his death made the way, not across the Red Sea, but it made a way across the chasm that existed between us and a relationship with God for those who believe and trust in him. The Israelites were delivered from 400 years of fear, chains, hopelessness, slavery, bondage, oppression, and shame. We too can be delivered and join in this wonderful song of praise if we put our trust in him. And so, as I finish, the song of Moses is a song of praise to God alone, who fights our battles and defeats the enemy. It's a song of perseverance, reminding us not to give up, to keep going, to keep putting our trust in him and him alone, even when our journey is tough. And it's a song of prophecy. God delivered the Israelites from the hand of Pharaoh, yes, but he has also delivered every one of us from the hand and power of Satan. So let's go out this week with these songs firmly in our hearts and minds, much like those nursery rhymes I mentioned earlier, and continue to see ourselves in this story of Exodus and realize that this is also our heritage as well. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your great love that surpasses all understanding. Thank you that you are an active God, faithful to all generations. Lord, would you help us enter into this story as we discover more of your victory, and may we sing songs of praises to your name, keep persevering to the end, and know that the story of Israel is our story too.